So anyway, we're going over your career and how you got started and so on and so forth. Do you remember your first game?
Yes, I do.
For the station here.
Well, I went with, I actually went with John to a football game. It would have been in the fall of 1919. He was broadcasting on, I forget, it was Hamilton. These schools no longer exist. They're part of consolidations, which Hamilton is with West Hancock. That's like Nauvoo, Colusa, Warsaw, and Hamilton. The West Hancock Titans, and they were playing the Westmore Warriors, who, of course, are the Mercer County Golden Eagles. And I was with him. He was doing the game, so I just went with him. And I always bring up the I was talking to John Marks about this a couple weeks ago. The old press box at Westmore, what's Mercer County Junior High now, Mercer County Junior High plays their games at the old Westmore campus. That's where their home games are. And just prior to the consolidation, 3 years probably prior, 4 years, they built kind of a nice new press box on the home side. Well, they had a real crow's nest on the visitor side that served as
at Westmore.
Press box. Yeah. And I remember John was doing that game, and I went there with him. And I'm like, how is he seeing the ball? You know, in terms of the level. And then I don't think the numbers were marked on the field, so I was just amazed.
The lights
I was
were not
overwhelmed.
Great either.
I'm like, man, I can't. I don't think I can do this. So he did at that time. He did most all of the football games because it was pre-internet. And I think the first game I ever did on my own was that season, and it was a girls' basketball game between Riverdale and Sherrard at Sherrard High School. And I can't remember the girls' basketball coach at what was his name? I forget now. It would have been 19. It would have been the winter of 19. No, it would have been the like November or December of 1990.
That's okay.
Yeah, so that was my first game.
Well, you know, the thing that's always got me about every announcer, but you are really good at it, and so is John, about you do so many different schools, and the passion for high school sports is very evident, because to know the history and the background of every school, and you do, that's amazing to me. And you can't do that without a passion for that. You can't take it. If you're not interested, it'll show.
Agree.
And you can tell the passion that you have because of the quality that you put into each game. And to do game after game after game and with the excitement level that you have is awesome. And how you do you prep for games?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you have the advantage of, like, I know if you cover Rock Ridge and Mercer County and Sherrard, all your three primary schools, and then Orion as well, so you prep for the opposition.
School.
But most of the area teams, then, you get familiar with conferences, and you have a little head start going in. A great point about, you know, that people can tell if you're interested, right? You know, can I segue here and bring up something? You remember...
You can do 25 minutes and we're off the air.
I spent a day yesterday with Coach Welter. I met him up at Northern Illinois University and sat with him and watched some of the state championship football games in the part of the 1A, part of the 2A. And...
Another good example.
Yeah, but this is about, I don't know how many years ago, it was maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago. We know a mutual friend, all you, me, Coach Welter, and having a hard time in his life, and we went to visit him.
Yeah.
And it was a 3-hour trip one way, so it was a 6-hour round trip, and then about a 4-hour visit.
And
so
10
hours. But I remember you guys got it, and I don't coach, so I don't know, but you said, or he said, and you were involved in this, kids know.
Oh,
kids know if you're interested in their lives.
Without a doubt.
And I think it's very important. That's a very important lesson I tell to coaches out there. They know if you're interested or not. And that's by...
You can't be phony about
that. Yeah, you got to show up. You got to be there. You got to be actively engaged in their life beyond the baseball coach.
Whatever the game is.
Beyond the head football coach of Monticello or the head baseball coach of... Yep. Rock Ridge, but I digress. I mean, people know if you're interested or not.
That is so. To me, you know, when I walk down the hallway over at Rock Ridge and some kid says, "Hi, coach," my head just explodes. I get that makes, if they only knew how good that made me feel, because my adult life has been Rock Ridge High School, and I just love kids to start with anyway.
Well, but when we talk about teams,
yeah,
I was thinking about this. the other day, because I thought, I bet you Cook asked me, what's the best team I ever saw play? Very simple for me, without a doubt, is the Haps senior year at Rock Ridge. That team was the best team I ever saw. But I tell people, you know, well, they didn't win state. Well, I'm just telling you, 9.9 out of 10 times, they beat every 1A, 2A team
by
10 or 15. They had one bad half that night three quarters. Yep. And then they got on a roll in the fourth quarter, and they missed one shot really down the stretch in that fourth quarter, or they would have won the state title. And I tell people, half would have been Mr. Basketball that year if they would have won undefeated state champs. But the best season, there's a difference.
Yeah.
The best team I ever saw was that Rock Ridge team, and people forget that was Ethan Happ, that was a senior, all right? And then Brian Heath was a junior, who's a D2 standout at Michigan Tech. And then other dudes you just forget about that were elite players.
Great
like Lucas
players.
Johnson and TJ Martins and guys of that nature, Nolan Stevens. And the kids that came off the bench, they were freaking loaded, man.
You know, and the thing about that group is,
people don't know, how good was Lucas Johnson?
Oh, he was.
And he was just,
if it had been for Brian and Ethan, he'd have been he might have been Area Player of the Year.
Well, I know. That's how good of a player. But the best season I ever saw was the 2012 Mercer County football team, where they had to beat.
Yeah, with Tanner.
Matlick was the quarterback, and they had to beat two parochial schools doing it in Rockford Lutheran, who had James Robinson. And now there was a couple of key injuries that occurred in that game with Mercer County that helped them out. But then, and then beating Belleville Althoff. And people forget, folks, if you don't know the type of athlete that Belleville Althoff puts on the field now, I mean, watch their basketball team the last couple of years, and that's the type of school, those two type of schools they had to beat to win that state title that year. So I say that. The best individual performance I ever saw, this is interesting, as people say, what's the best individual basketball performance you'll ever see in Taylor? They'll say, well, Taylor's going to say Happ. No, it wasn't. It was a Rock Ridge kid, though. It wasn't Ethan Happ. It was Tyson Blazer at the State Farm Center, or at the State Farm Classic, when he poured in 33 of his team's 37 points, and Rock Ridge beat the eventual state runner-up, IVC, and they put everybody on their whole team against them, and they still couldn't stop him. And I think the four other points they scored were two assists from Tyson Blazer.
You know, I sat with Zach McAllister, was on that team.
A pitch for the Indians,
And he
played at IBC.
And I sat with him here a few years ago at a dinner. And I said, Zach, do you remember Tyson Blazer? He says, do I remember Tyson Blazer? He says, of course I do. He single-handedly beat us. Anyway.
Now, the best game I've ever done, the most exciting game I ever done, was the Sherrard Alleman game at Don Morris Gym in the regional championship. I think it was 2001, and that's where Alleman was co-champs of the Western Big Six in basketball, and Sherrard finished third that year in the Olympic Conference. That was the heyday years.
Amazing.
With the likes of Farmington and Macomb, and then Sherrard was really good, and they pulled off the unbelievable upset at the Don Morris Gym.
Speaking of the Olympic, I wish that was back in
style.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yes, that was that was a great conference. Anyway, okay, so your biggest disappointments then.
You mean from a standpoint of broadcasting?
Yes.
I was sad the year the Haps team lost, because I really, you know, I wanted them to do it. And, you know, I don't know if it's sad to say this, but a lot of my friendships in life, you know, involve broadcasting high school athletics. You know, I don't know if it's hard to say disappointments, because sometimes you can, there's like these uplifting things that happen and disappointments. And when you talk about losing, and one of my favorite stories in basketball, because Brent Hutton was the coach at Ori, and I can't remember what year this was, the Super Sectional was at the Jacksonville Bowl. And Orion had this lead where they were surely going to go to state. And there were these weird plays that happened down the end. And one of them was, there was a kid from, they were playing Winchester West Central. And it was a 1-1 that Winchester West Central was shooting. And Orion, the Orion players thought it was a two-shot foul. The kid missed it. And Orion just stood there, rebound, Winchester West Central gets the rebound, score, go up 3 or 4, whatever, and eventually win the game. So it's just a crushing defeat. So I remember, I'll never forget this. This is one of my favorite moments. It was so sad, but it was so great at the same time. So Brian Hutton was broadcasting the game with me, and Brent comes up shortly after the game. It's just this crushing defeat, and I remember his wife is standing behind me, Shelley, and his one daughter, and then Josh played on that team. Josh Hutton, who's a really, yeah, really okay. good multi-sport mm-hmm. athlete at Oregon. Yeah. So his daughter, I think it's Kelly's her name. So Coach Hutton, Brent Hutton, he's standing right here, and he's getting ready to put the headsets on, all right? And his daughter just comes up to him, and she goes, "Dad," she goes, "I'm so sorry." And she's, you know, crying yeah. and hugs him.
Oh.
You know, he's standing up facing the music about what happened at the end. I'm like, man, that's the price of sports. And one of my favorite moments, too, doing this, and I like those type of moments behind the yeah. scenes where you oh, see yeah. what the investment is
what
all
they're
about.
Made of, too.
Well, and I remember the day we were broadcasting the Super Sectional baseball game at Augie.
Oh, yeah.
And that kid hit that. Their number nine hitter, I think that inning got walked. He was hitting like, oh, you know, how baseball works. He was hitting 125, and he got a 3-2, or I think it was 3-2 count, ball four, that gets the top of the order up, and that Cox kid from Prophetstown here yeah. gets to bat one more time.
Yeah.
And he hit one like an inch over the glove of the McManus kid that played center, or who was playing center then?
Tron, Dustin Wells.
Yeah, barely over his glove.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they score the winning run.
Yeah,
but you're standing behind, I'll never forget this, you're standing behind the like press box at Augie,
yeah.
and you're visibly weeping, like, yeah. Jim, I lost that game.
I did.
No, I know you didn't. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't come down to one player or whatever, but I'm saying those are the, as they say, those are the precious moments in covering high school sports.
But you know, speaking of that, baseball especially baseball, coaches, high school coaches lose far more games than they win. And I went against my, well, just like, well, actually in the major leagues, look how the managing changes when they get to the playoffs. It does. There's so much pressure. They can't make a mistake. Well, that's the way it was with me. I looking back on it, should I have taken Cody out of that game? Probably, but it would have taken a SWAT team to go to the mound yeah. to get him to leave. Anyway.
But the year Rockridge lost that, sectional basketball game at Olympia. I was bummed because I really wanted that
yeah.
team. Because, you know, John and I.
That was a state champion.
Well, and when I think about covering Hap, the one moment that always, I'm not going to name the school, but it was his senior year. And they were involved in kind of a rivalry with one school. And they played them three times so people can figure it out. They had to play them once in the postseason, twice in the regular season. And I think they would have been. The senior year, maybe they would have been in the same conference or not, but they played at Rockridge, and they played at this other school. Well, the game that was at Rockridge got a little testy,
yeah,
and kind of a close game. And then this team thought, well, we got a chance. So Rockridge rolls into this town. Great environment for small school basketball.
Oh, standing room.
We broadcast in the balcony in the corner.
Corner.
So John Hoshite came that night with me to the game. And Darren was working the game with me. And so I'm watching the game, and I'm watching grown adults, mind
John
you.
John was down on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching grown adults, mind you, say some very terrible, awful things about 16 and 17-year-old kids, one of them who happens to be going to a Big Ten school to play basketball. So we're sitting there in the post game, and Rockridge just friggin' smokes them, man. I mean, they come out, and it's over in the second quarter. You know, not even – it's over in the first quarter. You knew it was over. So after the game – you know, people are coming up to Hap, and he's signing everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so John and I are sitting, and I'm sitting up people. There. I'm up there going, "Don't do it!" You know, basically thinking, "Don't sign that for that guy. He's been saying these terrible things to you," yeah. and he signs it. You know, that's yeah. the type of dude he is.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Don't sign that for that." I mean, that's
keepers.
Me not being able to take the high road. But because John snapped a picture of me interviewing Hap in his final game at Olympia. That sectional
yeah.
against
he set up Bloomington the bleachers
Central
with
Catholic. And I argue yeah. with people that I think if they would, and that Okafor won, and Okafor won the Mr. Basketball of the year, but I still, and who plays in the NBA top draft pick, I still say if Hap in Rockridge wins that state championship undefeated,
yeah.
I think he had a chance
I do too.
To win Mr.
He was
Mr.
such
Basketball.
A dominant player.
But my argument with him too is I hate when people say, and this is just the homer coming out in me, prototypical, and I told this to Guard on Media Day, I hate it when they say prototypical Wisconsin player. I'm like, no, he's just a good college basketball
yes.
player. Why do you have to preface it that way?
Like,
but
well,
anyway.
Yeah, no, Ethan was the most exciting play, obviously, in Rock Ridge history was Carson Frakes hitting that shot down at the state tournament. But the second most and the most athletic that I've ever seen was Ethan at Rock Ridge, I think against Princeton. He rebounded the ball, took it off up the floor. A guy picked him up at the timeline. He went behind the back, full speed dribble, kept on going. Nick Madison had gone down the left wing. Ethan hit him with a full-length bounce pass, kept going. Do you remember this
night?
And then he flipped up the basket, and he slammed it home. Even the Princeton people were standing applauding. Yeah. That was an amazing play. Okay. It still gets to me how you can, at a basketball game especially, the ball changes hands. They're passing here and passing there and so on and so forth, and you get these names. I do not know how you do that because it's not Rock Ridge against Sherrard all the time. It's Rock Ridge against Riverdale, and you have to know their names. I don't know how you do that. Is that something you had to develop?
I think there's a rhythm to it after you do it for so long. I mean, in game prep, you know if it's the the point guard basically starts and stops with the offense, so you know going in that guy's going to have the ball first. And you can look statistically just by their scoring averages, things of that nature, who's going to get the ball more times than not. So I'm prepared to at least say, well, you know, if this kid's averaging 23 points a game, I know he's going to have the ball in his hands most of the time.
What about tough interview? What is your tough – can you think of a tough interview where there was some animosity without saying a name then?
Yeah. I don't know so much of that. I think, you know, I'll tell you a story. A weird thing happened to me last year. We were doing a game late. This is in the Lincoln Trail Conference, okay, and the guy doesn't coach there anymore. And I was with Mercer County's playing this team. And I go up to this coach, and I said, hey, I said, Coach, this one. I try to get there early and tape an interview with him. Usually I try to get most places at 5:30 so I can tape my pregame stuff well before the JV game starts, well before varsity prep starts, so they don't have to worry about all that. So I went up to this coach. He goes to me. He goes, this is how the conversation starts. Hey, Coach, Jim Taylor, you know, I said I work at WMJ. I just wanted to see if we could knock out a pregame interview before the, you know, JV game starts. I'll ask you just a couple, three questions, whatever, you know. How's your team doing? Blah, blah, blah. Keys the game. They're very canned type of interviews. Well, he looks at me and he goes, I don't think I'm going to do an interview with you tonight. I'm saying, okay. He goes, you set our score too much at the LTC tournament that we got beat. He goes, I was listening to the LTC tournament. We were coming back. And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. I said, you lost. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, have you ever listened to our station when we reported scores that you won? He goes, well, no, I haven't heard that. I said, oh, okay. And I just said to him, I said, okay, I'll talk about your kids. You don't have to. So that was that kind of weird.
Yeah.
And the assistant coach was standing there and he looked. Now there was one coach that kind of, I'm not going to name names, very successful program, would have coached in the early 2000s. I won't even name the sport, but they were very good. They won state title. They went to state 4 years in a row in a certain sport. And just for some weird reason, just never really got along with us. Would patch the relationship up. Well, this coach kind of had a little bit of a run-in with something off the field. And we reported that this person got suspended for so many games, and she didn't like the fact that we reported that. And I said, well, we didn't report that. We're reporting what your school did to you. So I'm just reporting the facts. So anyway, but after it was all said and done, I think the relationship was patched up.
Yeah.
And I get heat of the moment. I really do. I get heat of the moment, and I'm very protective of coaches because I know I've had coaches that have said some things on the air after a game, and some people will be very critical. Why'd they say that? Well, they just played a 32-minute, you know, smash-mouth game, and there's still some emotions involved, so I'm going to give them – it's a, you know – athletics are an emotional game, especially right after the fact.
Bobby Knight comes to mind. What about embarrassing moments? I know that Darren always talks about the swing.
That's one of the more funny ones. That's about the only one, but I don't know. One time, this was early in my career, we were doing a game before the new bleachers at Aledo, Mercer County High School. And Mercer, Aledo was playing Knoxville, and I was on the visitor side. Remember those old rickety bleachers?
Sure.
They were non-life safety, and then I remember on the end, they never even had any railings on the end where if you just fell, you fell to your death. So I'm walking down the steps, coming down to do an interview across the, because the visiting, we broadcast on the visiting side at the time at Aledo High School, so I had to walk across. So I was walking down the steps, and the front of my shoe caught the back of the bleacher, and I friggin' tumbled, you know, end over end, about six or seven steps, and I got up, and I'm like, hey, you know, everybody saw it. My face is just beat red, and I mean it hurt, but you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. I broke my shoulder, but
who's the radio guy over there that fell down the steps?
What about when Ty was playing? What was that like for you?
Well, for Ty and Tess, both. I mean, I'm because people say, do you call it down the line? I try to, but I'm not going to make any apologies when my kids played, I'd root for them. I mean, I tell people I want them to. I still kept it pretty close to the vest when I broadcast, but I was impartial to them. I wanted them to beat when Ty played. I wanted them to thump Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Horry, and all the local schools.
I got in trouble with that way.
But I mean, it's just the way it is. But I have, you know, but I'm not the type of guy. I have respect for those programs, and I root for my investment is the local schools because that's who we cover. And I do say we a lot on the broadcast, and I mean that collectively by the teams
I hear, we cover. Jim, I'll tell you, you know, I hear, well, you know, WRMJ favors Aledo or Mercer County. Yeah, no kidding. The station is located in Aledo. That's, you know, I mean, give me a break. This station, I absolutely love this station. And where would we be without? I mean, this is the throwback to the old days. This is the way radio, in my opinion, this is the way radio was meant to be. Local news coverage.
I would agree.
This is the way it should be. When you listen to some of the Quad City stations, they're you know, it's canned and everything. I mean, there's no local feel to it at all. That's why I love this station.
Yeah, but that's the most enjoyable. When people say, "What have you liked the most? What's the best moment of your life broadcasting when my kids play?"
Sure.
Me broadcasting.
I bet it is.
Unequivocally.
Sure.
And everything else is a distant second.
Well, I don't know where we are on time here, but I've really enjoyed this, Jim. And it gives me a time, and I say this all the time, but I just can't thank you guys enough, for you and John enough, for what you really – I don't think you have any idea what you mean to the community. It is awesome. And you're the voice of Western Illinois, without a doubt, so –
So you're still doing PA, so we'll see you at the basketball game.
Oh yeah. Right?
So what? So you say about the conference? I bet you there's a good crowd next Friday when Mercer County and Rock Ridge playing basketball.
Yes.
At Edgerton. I wonder why that is. I wonder why there'll be a good crowd.
I wonder why that would be. You suppose there's a rivalry there?
No. And then I say, and this is the other thing. Can I just say one thing that really aggravates me? And I'm so thankful that
you're asking me.
No. Okay. Because we got to wrap up here. I'm so thankful. So I got happy, and then I got mad again in a matter of like 5 minutes. So I'm told a couple weeks ago, well, hey, Rock Ridge or Sherrard's going to play Rock Ridge again in 2 years, not after this year, but it'd be, not the next season, 2019-2020. I said, oh, man, that's great. So they're going to play. It's great. They're going to be able to play Rock Ridge and Orion again in the same season. Well, then in 2019-2020, Sherrard's not playing Orion, but they're playing Rock Ridge.
So why?
Tell me why.
Well, it has to do with the conference.
I know.
Play it a game just as a non-conference game.
Well, I know. That's why they should. That's why I don't like the my thing with conference scheduling. I think you should only be guaranteed by conference. I say division. You can only play max 7 conference schools, and you have to play 2 basically non-conference or whatever. But how they're doing these crossovers, my understanding was the schools pick, each school gets an opportunity to pick who their crossover games are. So if somebody picks Orion, and even though Sherrard wants to play them, well, if they've already been picked, they can't play them. So my understanding was Sherrard got their first pick for their crossover game and picked Rock Ridge to get that back, but then somebody took Orion and they didn't get to play them. So, but anyway. All right, where our time is up. Thank you,
Thanks,
Glenn Cook,
Carl. Thank
our
you.
Interim host of the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.
Putting off planning for your future? We get it. You know you're supposed to plan.